This is 40A&M N5, a weekly download of 40A&M LLC. For more information and for our terms of use, visit 40A-M.com. Free music downloads make some very happy, others not so much. The FBI is concerned by Apple and Google's latest encryption moves. And in the same week, the CEO of Stealth Genie is arrested for potential violation of the Wiretap Act. That's not all, but it's a start. Welcome back to 40A&M N5, the weekly download of 40A&M LLC. It's Monday, October 6th, and I'm Chris Bohm. First up, last week, the FBI expressed concerns that both Apple and Google were enabling encryption by default on mobile handsets using their latest operating systems. Apple made the feature standard with its iOS 8 issuance, and Google plans to do the same for its Android L, due out soon. FBI Director James Comey said that the plans could potentially thwart law enforcement investigations. The making of encryption standard, rather than an option to be initialized by users, means that neither firm would be able to comply with an official law enforcement request for access to data on those devices. Neither firm will have the keys to user-controlled encryption. Mr. Comey added in remarks reported by the BBC that he is a huge believer in the rule of law, but that he is also a believer that no one in this country is beyond the law. The comments come this week as New York University's Brennan Center, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, and other public interest groups made a joint submission to the United Nations to urge the UN's Human Rights Council to review U.S. surveillance programs in the context of the UN's periodic review of UN member states. Computer forensics researcher Jonathan Zizarsky, in his blog Zizarsky's Domain, commented on the FBI's concerns, asking whether manufacturers should be required to weaken the strength of their encryption and the security of their products just to make law enforcement forensics possible. Mr. Zizarsky's point in asking the hypothetical was to spotlight that he saw Apple and Google's moves as improvements on behalf of the safety and security of customers. By weakening the security for purposes of forensics, you're weakening it for everyone, he added, opening the door to foreign governments and cyber criminals. The only logical solution, he concluded, is to make products as secure as possible and let good detective work do the crime solving, rather than what he called an easy button. Mr. Zizarsky went on to describe in his blog that iPhones, until they are turned off, can be opened via a key retained on the laptop with which it last synced. This fact may enable law enforcement to gain access to a phone with a warrant by accessing the key from a suspect's laptop. But once the iPhone is rebooted, the key, which had been used for the laptop's iTunes to talk to the phone, will be regenerated. Meanwhile, in other but related news, the head of the spyware company Stealth Genie was arrested this past week for offering the ability to secretly monitor phone calls and other communications, in almost real time, mind you, in an alleged violation of the Federal Wiretap Act. Assistant Attorney General Leslie Caldwell, head of the Justice Department's Criminal Division, said that selling spyware is not just reprehensible, it's a crime. Stealth Genie's CEO, Hamad Akbar, was apparently arrested on Saturday in Los Angeles. According to the Washington Post, almost anything on a smartphone is vulnerable to collection and monitoring by Stealth Genie, including texts, photos, calendar events, contacts, and web browsing history. But it was Stealth Genie's marketed ability to monitor calls that really seems to have gotten the Justice Department's attention. Prices for Stealth Genie raised from $100 to $200 a year for a platinum version that tracks nearly every utterance or movement of the smartphone target, and it is available for both iPhone and Android devices. On the face of it, the backlash that Apple experienced over the past week regarding a free download of the band U2's new album seems rather odd. The backlash, though widely reported, wasn't a big one, but it had to do with Apple's automatic issuance of the new album to iTunes account holders, regardless of whether they'd asked for it. Seems simple, right? You're getting a free album. 500 million iTunes users are getting it. Time to coincide with the release of Apple's iPhone 6, the download is of an album entitled Songs of Innocence that won't get its official release until the 13th of October. So, why all the fuss? While those that were unhappy with the free download largely cited the mechanism by which it was delivered, the fact that the album, regardless of whether the user ultimately wanted it, was now resident in all iTunes libraries as a full-fledged and unremovable purchase. Most giveaways are typically engaged by a website through a tick box that permits the user to decide whether to receive it, a dialogue that lets the user register yes or no. By Tuesday of this past week, Apple had crafted a function within iTunes to remove the album as a purchase from the libraries of users who actually did not want it, and felt very strongly about that conviction. For his part, Bono, the lead singer of U2, has since admitted to The Independent in the UK that the strategy was meant to stir things up a bit. And truth be told, the vast majority of respondents on Twitter and other social media expressed some excitement at getting the free album, which comes 5 years after U2's last studio album, No Line on the Horizon. In other music-slash-online-related news, Ed Sheeran, it was reported by The Guardian this past week, played a short set and answered questions at Amazon's London offices on Tuesday. Several artists lately have been critical, according to The Guardian's Stuart Dredge, of the size of royalties coming from streaming music services like Spotify. Sheeran has had a policy of making his albums available for stream on Spotify and elsewhere as soon as they are available for sale, bucking a tendency by some artists to preference album sales in advance of streaming. Sheeran's explanation is that he is in the music industry to play live. That's why I make records, he said. And that's why I do radio interviews and Amazon events and put things on Spotify. Having recorded music is fantastic, he added, but playing live is where it's at. And if streaming and online sales get folks excited to see me play, I'm all for it. Sheeran didn't duck the royalties issue. He admitted that early in his career, he received a whopping £4 royalty check from Spotify, about $6.50 US. But most believe that it's far more than that today. According to The Guardian, Spotify pays out 70% of its revenues as royalty payments to labels and publishers, and has said that its average per-stream rate is between 0.006 and 0.0084 cents. On Tuesday, the Federal Communications Commission announced that it was repealing the sports blackout rule for the National Football League. The blackout rule has existed for decades, creating a ban on the local broadcast of NFL games that were not sold out. Initial commentary praised the announcement, but also noted that the Football League may still establish its own blackout rules through private contracts that they set with cable companies and broadcasters. However, in the absence of such an agreement, cable and satellite operators will theoretically be able to air a local game, one that has been blacked out by the local broadcaster, by carrying the broadcast of another station outside the zone of the blackout. Broadcasters had vigorously opposed the change, citing that changing the rule would drive more games away from over-the-air stations to pay TV providers. The National Broadband Network is a national wholesale-only open-access data network currently under development in Australia. The NBN, as it's called, was subject to political and industry debate for a number of years before construction actually commenced. The rollout was planned to reach approximately 93% of premises in Australia by June 2021. But following a change in government, it is now expected to reach about 22% of the population. As of the 3rd of November of last year, construction of the network had passed 354,790 premises with roughly 109,800 active customer services. ZDNet's Josh Taylor reported this past week that the NBN company has decided that to deploy fiber to the node and then power delivery of broadband to homes and businesses via non-fiber lines would be cheaper than deploying fiber all the way to the premises, even though to deliver broadband in this way requires those nodes to be powered. Each node is expected to serve 384 premises, and the NBN and Telstra, the largest telecom company in Australia, are trialing the fiber to the node technology, according to ZDNet. NBN's own strategic review believes that each node will cost roughly $2,000 per year to operate, at an annual cost of roughly $120 million if the company deploys the technology to 60,000 premises, as stipulated in the 2013 broadband policy. Despite the high costs, according to ZDNet, the NBN believes that delivering broadband by node will be cheaper than the capital cost of deploying fiber to each premises. The problem: the speed and the capacity of broadband delivered in this way will, for the long term, be far less than that possible with full fiber lines. NBN, according to ZDNet, is uncertain just how many customers will get fiber to the node rather than fiber all the way to the premises. It's negotiating the point with Telstra, but its strategic review did recommend a rollout of 24% fiber to the premises, 41% fiber to the building, servicing apartments and other multi-dwelling units, and 28% hybrid fiber coaxial cable delivery. In the third week of September, Poland's University of Warsaw Library hosted Europe's 26th annual contest for young scientists. 110 young scientists, aged 14 to 20, presented their projects for 62,500 euro in prize money. The contest this year brought together 77 projects from young scientists representing 36 countries. And Mary Gagan Quinn, the European Commissioner for Research, Innovation and Science, said that the quality of the entries continues to amaze her. In her words, "Research and innovation spring from a diversity of ideas, and we must allow these young people the freedom to develop their ideas and create." This year's projects cover a broad spectrum of areas, including biology, physics, chemistry, computing, social sciences, environment, engineering, and medicine. The origin of the contest in Europe, which began with only 59 contestants at the first in 1989, is to support efforts in participating countries to encourage their young people to study STEM, science, technology, engineering, and maths coursework. One of this year's Fields Medal winners, Professor Martin Herr, won a prize at the 1991 competition. Among some of the prize-winning entries at this year's competition was from the Czech Republic. Luboš Vozdecký's physics project, which aimed to develop a test to determine the origins of rolling friction, focused on capturing the potential deformations on a rolling surface. Another interesting project came from Slovenia, from Alice Zupancic, who worked to develop a nanoparticle-coated fabric, which, once the particles were analyzed for environmental issues, could be used essentially as a self-cleaning fabric by discarding the nanoparticles. All of the summaries for the winning entries this year can be found on the European Commission's website, under the Directorate for Research, Innovation, and Science, or as linked to the website of Commissioner Gagan Quinn. And that will be all for us again this week. You have been listening to 40ANM in 5. For more information and for our terms of use, visit 40a-m.com. All stories for this week's download were reported by at least two online or print news sources, or taken directly from relevant releases, with the exception of specific reporting highlighted from The Guardian, ZDNet, the European Commission, The Independent, the BBC, The Washington Post, and Jonathan Ziarski's blog called Ziarski's Domain. Thank you for listening. 40ANM in 5 will be back with you again on Tuesday, October 14th. Please note we'll be a day later next week. Until then, of course, make this week and every week one to remember. And bye for now.